Now it's time to hear from our regular speaker, the Reverend David Evans. Thanks, David.
Hello again, this is David Evans with you. Now, traditionally in most Christian services, there is a part right at the very end of the service called the benediction, or some people call it the blessing. Sometimes these things have been neglected, but see, benedictions have their roots in Hebrew worship. God is so zealous over his people that he has instituted the benediction to make sure that the very last thing they hear when they come together for worship is the pronouncement of a blessing or a benediction. The word benediction means bene, good, and dictus, words, good words. A benediction is a blessing, and these words are either God-directed, that is, we actually say good things about God himself, or man-directed, where the blessing of God is carried from the presence of God to the people. One of the earliest benedictions in the New Testament came from the lips of angels on the Judean hillside when they came to announce the birth of Jesus. In many places of worship today, the people recite what is known as the Gloria in Excelsis Deo. You know it, glory to God in the highest and peace to God's people on earth. Now, Paul uses a Godward benediction at the beginning of Ephesians. You've read them often and probably not know what they were. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Of course, this is a double benediction or blessing. Firstly, blessed be God, that's directed to God, who has blessed us, that's a benediction towards us. The Lord Jesus urges to get into the practice of pronouncing benedictions on one another, and to even defeat the power of a curse on our lives by using a benediction or blessing. Jesus taught that the use of the blessing was so powerful in our lives, just as the words of a curse can not only bind us, but come from former generations upon us. Let's use our fingers to see how saturated the Word of God is with this idea of benediction, and incorporate it not only in church life, but also in experiencing the power of it in our personal lives. Let me start with Matthew 5:44 and 45. I'm going to read a few of them for you. Jesus said, "But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust." And then in Luke 6:28, Jesus said, "Bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you." In Acts 3:26, we see the purpose of Jesus' mission to the earth. It says, "To you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you, in turning every one of you away from your iniquities." Romans 12:14 says the same as previous verses, "Bless them which persecute you, bless and do not curse." In 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 12, Paul shares that the purpose of our work should be accompanied by blessing. He says, "And we labor, working with our hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we endure." We take the communion cup, don't we, on Sundays? 1 Corinthians 10:16 describes it as a cup of benediction or blessing. It calls forth a twofold blessing. Listen to the words, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ?" In their spirit-filled prayer life, many people use the ministry of tongues to do a benediction or a blessing. 1 Corinthians 14:16 says, "When we speak in tongues, we bless with our spirits." And then talking about the confused use of our tongues, James has a very important thing to say. He says in James 3:9, we use the same vehicle of speech, our tongues, to bless God and to curse people. "With it we bless God our Father, and with it we curse men," James says, "who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh." So right throughout the Bible, and that includes the Old Testament, God wants a circulation of benediction, good words and blessing to him and from him to us. One of the functions of the priests and the high priest was to confer in God's behalf his blessing by the raising of the hand and arm and speaking words like the important priestly blessing in Numbers. Here's how the Lord instituted. The Lord spoke to Moses and he said, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, This is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Now, I want you to note that the blessing is in the words as they are spoken, and not in the speaker, as if the speaker was someone with transmitted power. You see, blessing words are words of creative power, words in themselves, spoken under the anointing of the Spirit. And how powerful is that? How did God put his name upon the children of Israel? Through a benediction. Now, there are many things that happen in church that we may take for granted or think we can take it or leave it, but we cannot take or leave giving blessings to God. That is blessing the Lord. Listen to the psalmist. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Now note, all of those blessings towards us comes after the first verse of blessing the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Or what about Psalm 34 and verse 1? I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. Now, by offering a blessing or a benediction to the Lord in Psalm 103, David received back an anointing upon the areas of forgiveness, healing of all diseases, redemption, being crowned with loving kindness and tender mercies, all things we need in our lives. His mouth was satisfied with good things, and his youth was renewed, all because blessing and praise, benediction, were in his mouth at all times. I just want to say to you that benediction in church is not just a ritual. It's something that's so very important in the life and ministry of believers. You can experience benediction in your own life and blessing each day. Pronounce a benediction, pronounce a blessing, read the Word of God, let it become real to you. The Word of the Lord creates and it brings blessing. May I encourage you as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ to use the blessing of the benediction process in your life each day and in your family life to bless your children, to bless your families. And today I end by offering a blessing to you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. May you know that peace in your heart and life today. God be with you.
Heaven. Love me. Whoa.
with his orchestra and chorus, and the Graham Kendrick song, Shine, Jesus, Shine. We'll return with more music in a moment.